And just to elaborate on that, that is, today is the most holiest day of the year. And I tell you, it's, like you said, I really don't, you really kind of sense that, that we need to grab a hold of that. We really, really, really do. Think of the price that was paid. Yeshua gave his life. Yahweh gave his only son. And it was only his blood. We're going to read, we're going to see scripture that there was many, many, many sacrifices, many atonements, but none of them can take sin away. None of those bloods, only his. All they did was cover. All those atonements did was cover the sin for the day that the one that would come to take away the sins of the world. Amen. And it was, I'm telling you, this, we've been 4 or 5 days strong, but it's like I'm not even tired to write for right now, for this moment. Thank you, Lord. Not even tired, because you just, when you grab hold of the seriousness of it, it's unbelievable. So Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, starts this evening. And then it's going to end tomorrow evening. So we have service again tomorrow. So Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And you see the text, 1 John 1. I'm on live. It ain't working. Yeah. Oh, maybe I wasn't. Sorry. I don't like these electronics. My iPad had me sweating. Don't want to work. I don't know what's going on. But okay, here we go. Listen to James 4. This is the brother of Yeshua, the half-brother of Yeshua. Listen to it. Powerful. James 4, 1 through 17. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of Elohim. Can't have both of them. Got to choose one. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he said, Elohim resisted the proud, but give it grace unto the humble. That is atonement. That is, we have to humble ourselves. And we're in this, from today, we got 5 days to Sukkot. The biggest festival of the year we're coming into. And here he is talking about giving us grace unto the humble. For us to humble ourselves in this time right here. Submit yourselves, all part of atonement. We got to humble, submit. Therefore, to Elohim, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to Elohim, and he will draw nigh to you. Listen, the closer, the more we push towards him, the closer he's going to come to us. Yes. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Remember, you got to be single eye. If you ain't single eye, what he says, you're double minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That's what we should be doing. Afflicted and mourning and weeping. Our laughter should be to mourning and our joy to heaviness. You think Yahweh, it was all joyful and high-fiving and clapping and when his son was being crucified? No, that was a war going on inside of him. It was, you know, my son, he's given his life for the world. What about Abraham? Mm-hmm. Bringing his only son. You think that was a time, you think he was happy? You think he was joyful when he was doing that? No, he was mourning. It was mourning. His heart was heavy. There was a war going on between that. He was about to kill his only son. But what did he do? He knew even though that war was going on inside, that was affliction. He was afflicted. But he had to obey because he knew it. He knew he had to obey. Humble yourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He's talking to believers, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And remember how they tried to trick Yeshua into judging the woman that got caught in adultery? In adultery, they brought him to him. And what he said? Oh, ye have no sin, ye cast the first stone. Y'all get this party started. He looks up, nobody's there. They all gone. And what he told him? Go and sin no more. I can't judge you, but go and sin no more. Go and don't be Torahless. That's what sinning is, to be Torahless. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? Go to now, ye that say, today or morrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. Think about that. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if Yahweh will, he shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Where the life is at? In the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And you see that just in general. You know, you hear people saying, man, they almost bled out. They almost died. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that making an atonement for the soul. Had to have been his blood. Only his blood can atone the soul. And in the ESV, Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that make an atonement by the life. He's given it to us. Praise God. Amen. So thankful for the blood. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, 2. That which was formed from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew it unto you that eternal life, and show it unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, that you may have koinonia with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Messiah. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, that your joy may be complete. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that Elohim is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, and as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. cleanses us from all sin. Notice how it didn't say the blood of Yeshua Messiah covered. His blood doesn't cover. His blood delivers. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Thank him for that advocate. He's always making intercessions for us, forever making intercession for us. And these are the biblical holidays. It's just a calendar. You see the spring holidays, Passover, Jesus' death, unleavened bread, his burial, first fruits, his resurrection, and Pentecost. Pentecost is the Holy Spirit. And those are the spring holidays. And he tells us those are to be kept as a memorial because those happen. So you got to remember what I did for you on these days. But here we are in our fall days. You see trumpets and there's there's nothing underneath. Day of Atonement and no tabernacles because those never happened yet. And he tells us holy convocations. Why? Because we got to rehearse. He said, keep these as a rehearsal. Rehearse these days for when I'm going to come. You know, and if we don't know I just told you a couple of Sundays ago about that anti-Messiah. Yeah. If we don't know the scripture, don't know these fall holidays, don't be rehearsing these fall holidays, we're going to be deceived. Remember, we did the thirds, two-thirds, one-third out of the whole church in general. Not just our church, but we're talking about the whole church in general. Two-thirds, that's a lot of people that's going to be deceived. A lot. That's why it's so important to do these fall. That's why you might be tired, but push through. Push through. Yom HaKippurim. Kippurim. Yeah. Anyway, that R-I-M is plural. That's plural because there was many, many atonements. There was atonements for the priest. There was atonements for the tabernacle. There was atonements for the utensils. There was so many atonements that he had to do. So that's why he had the plural on it. Leviticus 16:33, and he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priests and for all the people of the congregation. Now, I can see you can see why the people needs an atonement because for the sin, but there's no sin in the sanctuary or on the altar. But when you went in, whatever, just by the person going in there, it defiled it, you know, because you was unclean. So that's why they had to do atonement for the sanctuary, atonement for the tabernacle, and for the utensils and all that. Leviticus 16:6-10, and Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goat, one lot for Yahweh and the other lot for the scapegoat. And, you know, Yeshua fulfilled, he played a role in every last one of these. He's the high priest. He was the lamb. He was the scapegoat. He played a role in every last one of these that we read. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which Yahweh's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. You know, they would tie the scarlet line on him and they would bring him to up there and they would kick him over the edge. And, you know, we've seen they try to do that to Yeshua. They put him up, but some way, somehow he slipped out of their hands. Not way, somehow. I mean, they just couldn't do it. It wasn't his time. Leviticus 23:27. Also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there should be a day of atonement It shall be an holy convocation, should be a rehearsal unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Also on the 10th day of this month. Now, for the newcomers that, I mean, our new members, our new brothers and sisters, it says on this day, which we celebrate, you know, it's October for us, but in the Hebrew calendar, it would be the 7th month right now. And it would be the 10th day, which is not October 7th, but that's, you have to think Hebrew calendar, not our Gregorian, however you say it, our calendar. The different names, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and I tell you, face to face, I almost want to say that's my favorite. Because face to face, think about that. That face to face that we're going to have, like Moses had, to where his face was so bright, he had to put a veil on it. It scared him. It scared Aaron and the people. They were scared to come by him. And I'm getting ahead of myself because the face to face get me excited. The day or great day. Imagine that. The day or great day. It was a great day for them. Because it was only one time a year that the high priest can go in and cover their sins. So they carry the sin all year long. Can you imagine can you imagine right now, we only had one day that we could repent. A couple of hours drives us crazy if we let it go that long. You know, so just think for a whole year that they had to carry that. And you see the fast. It's a question. We're going to talk about that. The fast, they call it. The great shofar. And the closing of the gate. The most solemn day of the year. Today, the atonement. The day of atonement. The most solemn day of the year. Leviticus 23:32. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto evening. Shall ye celebrate your Sabbath? And I have to tell you this really, it arrested me this evening. Because he says that it shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. Meaning we should not work from tomorrow, from tonight till tomorrow. There should be no civil work. And I called my wife and I said, look, you said, I text. I said, you think we should take off? And she's like, well, I can't take off. I've been taking off a lot, this and that. I said, well, I'm not going to take off either. But this has been ever since I did that. So I went back and I wanted to see why is this so important? And it's not, we don't have a slide. So just turn to Leviticus 23 and just go up a few verses. Because listen, remember, we're supposed to be rehearsing this. We're supposed to be doing it, practicing it. So 28. Yeah, let's start with verse 28. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. And if we didn't think he was serious, just keep reading verse 29. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted, in that same day he shall be cut off from among his people. And if you still didn't take him serious, go read one more, verse 30. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. When I read that, I had to ask him for forgiveness because I was sorry that I didn't do what you asking us to do, to rehearse this. I planned for a bunch of things. I had a whole year to plan this for not to work tomorrow, from tonight on to tomorrow evening, and I didn't. But it got me, and I thank him because next year, I can promise you, who's not working? It's Josh. Because I want to do what he's asking me to do. I want to obey. That's afflicting your souls. That's obeying his commandments. That's submitting yourself to him. And that's what he's saying. I'm going to destroy you if you don't do it. And I don't want to be destroyed. I want to be practicing this. That's how serious it is. Look, he mentioned it to you three times in a row. You think he was serious? It's no game. His son died. His son died. What happened on the first Yom Kippur after the Exodus? Exodus 32, 30 through 33. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto Yahweh peradventure. Perhaps I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto Yahweh and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them mighty ones of gold. Can you imagine? I just kept you for 430 years. I made provision for you over and over and over. And here you are, they're making mighty ones. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. You see why Yeshua is a type of Moses? And Yahweh said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Him will I blot out of my book. In order for him to blot your name out the book, your name's got to be in the book. Face to face, 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but when I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. Exodus 34:29-32. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that Yahweh had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Could you imagine that face, the light that must have been just glowing off of him? For them to be scared, it must have been pretty bright. Is Yom Kippur a day of fasting? And we're going to see that. We're going to go through it and see. Because, listen, you can fast. It's not that we can't fast, but if you go through the Torah, don't say, not that it says afflict, deny yourself. But you can fast. It is fasting is an affliction, but it's, don't let that be the lead thing that you say, oh, well, I fasted, so I Yom Kippur. No. That's not, you didn't afflict nothing. It is often understood that Yom Kippur is also known as the Day of Atonement. It's considered a day of fasting. But is this simply tradition or a commandment? And that's where it comes from. In the Jerusalem Talmud, you see, this Jewish oral is the laws that they added. You know, like Yeshua didn't have, Yahweh didn't give them enough. They wanted to add to it. The Jewish oral law, Yom Kippur, is referred to as the T is sound as like Zoma, Rabba. It's the great fast. But this is in their laws. It doesn't say, it's nowhere in the Bible you'll find it. J. Pierre 7:4, that's the pages you can go to find it. And in another place, that's simply Zoma, fast. J. Bava, Batra, 9:7. The Hebrew word for fast is sum. And the chorus number is H6684. It means to refrain from eating for a period of time. This could include any drink as well. Acts 27:9, and when considerable time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, since even the fast was already over, Paul began to admonish them. He began to warn them. You know, we're getting in some bad weather and the voyage was now dangerous. He was just letting them know, just telling them that we got to get ready because, you know, the fast is over, but it's about to get bad. The Torah does not specifically call us to fast for Yom Kippur, but to deny ourselves. In Leviticus 16:29, Leviticus 23:27, and Numbers 29:7, the word deny and that's the concordance, number H6907, is used, which refers to a humbling or mortifying, afflicting one's soul. And we can read those three right fast. I don't have a slide for them. So it's Leviticus 16, 29. And this shall be a statue forever unto you, that is in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourner among you. Ye shall afflict your souls. 23, verse 27, same book. Also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Numbers 29:7. Notice he's saying to afflict, not to fast. That was just what they wanted to do. That's what they wanted to call it. 29:7 in Numbers. And ye shall have on the tenth day of this seventh month an holy convocation. Ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall not do any work therein. This has been interpreted as including, in addition to fasting, refraining from bathing. See how deep they can get? Anointing, wearing leather shoes, and sexual relations. Yad, Sheviot, Asor, 1:5, that's where you can find it in the Talmud. These are forbidden only by rabbinic legislation, Tosfot, Yama 7b, and not by specific instructions found in the Torah. You can't find it in the Torah. It don't say nothing about don't bathe and don't anoint yourself. It said afflict your souls. We know what it means to fast, some, but what does it mean to afflict, to anah ourselves? The Hebrew word anah appears about 79 times in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament. Genesis 15:13. Then the Lord Yahweh said to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted, anah, for 400 years. He didn't say nothing about, can you imagine them not taking a bath for 400 years? Or walking without shoes for 400 years? You see how they can get way off? Here we see how being afflicted is synonymous with being a servant or placed under authority of another. That's atonement. That's how we should be. That's what we should, our posture should be tonight, to be afflicted, to be a servant, to be under his. That's what we should be telling him. Lord, I'm under your authority. I'm under your rules and regulations. In this light, it is not very positive because it is unwillful bondage. It is not by their own desire that they became a servant, but circumstances outside of their control, not of their own free will. So they didn't have no choice but to be afflicted. They was in bondage. There's nothing they could have done about it. It was not, they didn't willfully go and want to be a servant. It was unwillfully. It was, you know, they had to. But it's, you know, that's what he wants from us. He want our own free will. He wants us to surrender to his authority, to be his servant. He's not going to put no bondage on us. Genesis 16:6, but Abram said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarai dealt harshly. She anahed with her, and she fled from her. Now, this is the woman who Abram had a relation with, had the Ishmael. Yes, Ishmael. That's who this is talking about right here. Again, under the authority of another, in this illustration, the master has the right to reward or punish the servant. Exodus 10:3. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord Yahweh, the Elohim of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble? How long will you refuse to deny yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." Again, another use meaning placing oneself under the authority of another. It can also be used in the context of a marriage related to vows and binding. Keep this in mind for later in the teaching. Numbers 30:13. Any vow and any binding oath to afflict Anah herself, her husband may establish, or her husband may make void. You know, and we tied this scripture into what happened in the garden. You know, Adam had the right to cancel out that vow. And just like us men today, we have that same authority. He gives us that same authority to cancel out any vows that our wives or our kids might make that we don't know, that can't take root in their lives. Our Creator uses the word with us, meaning to humble us or to make us low. Deuteronomy 8:16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you, to do you good in the end? Hallelujah. You know, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers didn't know, that he might humble you? Sometimes when we're going through something, just thank him. You never know. You don't know what you're going through it for. It could be him trying to humble you. This is a test as to whether he will follow whether we will follow his instructions or not. His Torah. For example, Psalms 119:71. It is good for me that I was afflicted. When's the last time we said that? When's the last time we said that? Where we prayed that or told somebody that? You know, nobody ain't saying that. Nobody's talking about it was good for me to be afflicted. No, we cry when we're going through something. That I might learn your statutes. Psalms 119:75. I know, O Lord Yahweh, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. In faithfulness. See how humbling ourselves is directly correlated with following his instructions? In these instances, Anah is positive. As it is us willfully placing ourselves under the authority of our Creator. This is why the Torah does not focus or really even mention fasting as it relates to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is designed to encourage us and call us to humble ourselves, to make ourselves low before Him in obedience to Him. Amen. In obedience to Him. That's what it means to deny yourself, to afflict yourself. Willfully placing ourselves under his authority. Meaning this, though it is always important to follow him and be obedient, it is most important to be sure that we are following his authority on Yom Kippur. You see how serious today is? Most important to be sure that we are following his authority on Yom Kippur. Because of this, many believe that Yom Kippur will be the last day to repent and appeal at the time of the beginning of the day of the Lord. And that's why I couldn't shake about not planning to take off tomorrow. Because it means, it says this right here, most important to be sure that we are following his authority. He's telling us you should be doing no work. So on Yom Kippur, it is of the utmost importance to focus on him and his ways, to humble ourselves, to prostrate ourselves, to make ourselves low, to only be following his instructions and not our own ways. Boy, and that can get us in trouble, huh? Wanting to do it our way. And we see where our way got us a bunch of times. I know where it got me. A lot of heartaches, a lot of struggles. Though we can fast on Yom Kippur, and though fasting is a form of affliction, it's not saying that you can't, not saying don't do it. Just don't let that be the lead thing. Don't say, oh, that's why, I mean, I made it past Yom Kippur, I fasted, I'm good. It does not appear to be the form of affliction our Creator desires us to focus on. The important matters of Yom Kippur seems to focus on repenting and humbling and leading to full obedience, centered around afflicting ourselves in a Sabbath rest. The root meaning of the word to afflict or na seems to also have a relationship or linguistic root with the Hebrew word for marital rights or ona, and that is in the concordance H5722. Exodus 21:10. If he takes another wife to himself, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, or her marital rights. Ona. You got ona and una. If our law returns on a future day of trumpets, it is possible that we might be taken into the bridal chambers. Isaiah 26:19-21. And the wedding may occur on Yom Kippur, just 10 days later, as that day appears to be linguistically related to marital rites and vows. Then perhaps the wedding feast would occur during Sukkot, just 5 days later. Makes you wonder. Isaiah 26:19-21. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. Corpse. Your dead will live. Their corpse will rise. You will lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Huh? How powerful is that? The earth's got to give them up. Come, my people, enter into your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. Leviticus 16:29. This shall be a permanent statute for you in the seventh month. On the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you. Humble your souls. Isaiah 58:1-12. Cry aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways as a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God. They ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? But on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. See what he's telling them? Behold, on the day y'all want to fast, y'all want to keep your fast, but y'all want to drive your workers. You want to kill them. You want to work them to death. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like that which I choose? A day for a man to humble himself? It's a good question he's asking. Is it a fast that I have chosen? It is for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose to loosen the bonds of the wickedness and to undo the bands of the yoke? And to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. That's the fast he chooses. It is not to divide your bread with the hungry. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house when you see the naked to cover him and not to hide yourself with your own flesh? Then your light will break out like the dawn and your recovery will speedily spring forth and your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water do not fail. He will continually guide you. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundation and you will be called the repairer of the breach. We know this scripture real well. The restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Leviticus 16:30-31. For it is on this day that the atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You will be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. The Day of Atonement. This is something that someone did for you that we couldn't do for ourselves. That's what the Day of Atonement is. Something that someone did for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. And we try. I try. I know I tried many and I failed. I found out the hard way that I couldn't do it. I had to let him do it. Atonement. The English word for atonement originally meant at one ment. Or at one wit, like being in harmony with someone, and in this case, it means to be at one with Elohim. Through the atonement that was made possible by the substitutionary debt and life of Yeshua on our behalf. I'm so thankful for y'all help tonight. And life of Yeshua on our behalf. The Day of Atonement was a gracious day each year when all Israelites could experience a new beginning. This day foreshadows God's plan for the final disposition of sin and the creation of a new earth where righteousness dwells. I thank God for new beginnings. It was a gracious day for them. 2 Peter 3:13. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The Hebrew word for atonement is kapar, with the verb from being kafar, and means to cover, to purge, purge, make reconciliation, and to cover with or coat with pitch. It's like a credit card. You know, it's just a cover because you ain't got the money yet until you get it. You buy the products, but that credit card is just to cover until you get the money to pay them. Purge, make an atonement, make reconciliation, cover over with pitch, to coat or cover with pitch, to cover over, propitiate, to cover over, atone for sin, make atonement for, to cover over, atone for sin and persons by legal rights, to be covered over, to make atonement for, to be covered. Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and clothed them. Listen, something that was alive and knew no sin, something that was perfect, had to die. The same thing for us. Yeshua, perfect, innocent, alive, had to die in order for us to be clothed, to clothe our sin. Genesis 6, 13 through 14. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. The Day of Atonement is a new beginning, being born again. The Day of Atonement is a new beginning, being born. Can you remember the Day of Atonement for your new beginning, when you had your new beginning, when you came and finally said, I submit to him? Think about that. Your new beginning. Every sin was just covered until Yeshua came, paid it in full. All those animals that died couldn't remove the sin. All it could do was cover it. Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, he removed our transgressions. Micah 7:19, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Our lamb. John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold that lamb. There was many lambs before him, but they could not take away the sin. But here he is. There he is. On this holiest day, this is the last slide. On this holiest day of the year, we have the holiest man going into the holiest place to proclaim the holiest name. Think about that. On this holiest day, today of the year, we have the holiest man going into the holiest place to proclaim the holiest name. He's always, that blood, he's steady making intercession. Hey, Father, this is for them. In the holiest place, this is for them. Think of the holiest day of the year, the holiest man. Think this is serious? This is serious. This is no, just like the, you know, the scripture I read, laughter should be mourning and weeping. You know, go home and let this sink in tonight and all day tomorrow. Think about it. You got all day tomorrow, all day to tomorrow, even before this ends. So I thank him for tonight. I thank him for this opportunity. And Brother Herman's going to start. Look at this. Importance, the importance of blood and life. Life is in the blood. I can't wait for tomorrow. I can't. I mean, I'm going to go over these tonight because I got to jump on y'all, but y'all got to wait till tomorrow. I don't have to. I'm going to preach to myself tonight. But God is good. He's so good to us. Amen. I'm so thankful for the blood, for his son's blood that forgive us of our sins. It's incredible. To think about, there's no more animals. He is the last. He's the red heifer. There's so much you can go. If you dig into this, there's so much you can talk about. He's the red heifer and all that. The scapegoat. It talks about how, you know, when he showed up, before he showed up on the scene, you know, the menorah would stay lit. The door would stay closed. All that. When he shows up, all that go. They couldn't understand why the menorah wouldn't stay lit. And it took like 20 men to do the doors. And when he shows up, it's powerful. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Amen. So thank y'all. That's all I have for tonight. And look, let's not afflict. Let's think about it. You know, let's let this mean something to us. You know, afflict your souls. Don't just, I'm a fast, but don't let that be the leading thing. You know, it's got to be something that's warring inside you, that's telling you, nah, you don't need to do it, but you know you need to obey. You know you need to do it. That's afflicting your soul. So, any prayer requests? Anything? Good? Well, let's pray for Sister Lois. Anybody else? Well, let's stand and we'll pray for Sister Lois and thank him for tonight and the price that was paid for us. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed. Lord, we only could have.